This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church.
Luke 6 and 38 says this. It says, "Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." Let us pray. Lord, I pray today that the people hear another voice other than mine. I pray through the power of the Holy Spirit that you would speak to hearts. I pray that you would speak to hearts. You're such a good God. Manifest yourself in a wonderful way. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Christ's name until you come. Amen. You may be seated. I have been preaching about defy the odds, and I'm going to continue to do that for a few more weeks. But I truly believe in order to defy the odds, there are some components that we must meet. See, the principles that you live by will determine the world that you live in. The principles that you live by will determine the world that you live in. Somebody said, "Pastor, decisions are so difficult." Yes and no. Here's what I would say to a young person. When you establish your values, when you establish the convictions of your life, decisions won't be real hard. Decisions are not real hard if you know what your values are. But I'm convinced one of the components to define the odds is to really live, you must learn to give. To really live, you must learn to give. Sir Winston Churchill said, "We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." I am convinced to defy the odds, you've got to learn to give. And to really live, you must learn to give. This is what I know. The more that you give away, the more you will enjoy what you have. The more that you give away, the more you will enjoy what you have. And the reason why I'm preaching a message to really live, you got to learn to give, is because it's something that you've got to be taught. It's something you've got to learn. Because, folks, it's not normal. It's not normal. But between services, I had my niece, and I was holding her. And I'm wanting to get kisses. And so I brought some graham crackers with me. And I said, "Look, Ren, I've got 2 graham crackers. I've got 1 for you, and I've got 1 for Uncle Benny." And you know what Ren did? She took both of them. Because see, even when we're just a baby, the first word we learn is mine. 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 We have a propensity to just look out for ourselves. But I'm convinced to really live, you must learn to give. Now, Paul wrote a letter to the Corinthian church, 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I want you to see what he said. He said to the Corinthian church, "I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches at Macedonia." Now, the churches at Macedonia were the church at Thessalonica. It was the church at Philippi. It was the Berean church. He said, "I want you to know." He was challenging the Corinthian church with what the churches at Macedonia had been doing. And he said this. He said, they're being tested by many troubles under Roman oppression. They're very poor. I want you to get that. They're very poor, but they also are filled with abundant joy. Now, they're very poor, but they have abundant joy because they have overflowed in rich generosity. You want to have abundant joy in your life? Live a life of rich generosity. Live a life of rich generosity. Now, you know, folks, I don't preach a whole lot on giving. I don't think I preach one message a year. Maybe one a year. And you just happen to be here that Sunday. I mean, maybe one a year. But I probably should do better. Because you know what I know? The Bible talks about believing. It talks about faith. 272 times, the word believe, the word faith. Look this. You say, well, that's pretty important, Pastor, believing, having faith, that's pretty important. It is. I'll tell you something else. Prayer's real important. But it's mentioned 371 times in the Bible. You say, well, that's pretty important. It's so important that we love one another, and it's mentioned 714 times in the Bible. But do you realize this, folks? Giving is mentioned 2,152 times in the Bible. Why? Because God's trying to teach us to really live, ladies and gentlemen, you must learn to give. To really live, you must learn to give. Now you say, Pastor, what's my motivation for doing this? Let me give you some motivation. Tell T.D. Jakes I'll call him back. But anyway. To really live, you must learn to give. Number one, giving makes me more like God. Giving makes you and me more like God. The Bible says this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he, let's do it again. For God so loved the world that he, and if we're going to be like God, we're going to be givers, folks. And if you want to become more like God, you've got to become a giver. Now think about this. You say, well, Pastor Benny, God controls my life. Well, I hope he does. But this is what I know. Everything that God controls gives. The sun gives heat. The moon gives light. Plants give food. Trees give wood. Everything that God controls, ladies and gentlemen, gives. And when God blesses us, he's got more than us in mind. Giving makes every one of us and every person listening to me today, giving makes us more like God. Let me tell you the second motivation for giving. Giving acknowledges that everything I have is from God. Giving acknowledges that God's the owner and I'm just the steward. Psalms 24:1 says this, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. Let me tell you something. Giving acknowledges everything I have, God's given me. The job, the house, the health, the car, everything I have, the positions I've had in life, God gave me that position. The platform I had in life, God gave me that platform. I remember when Savannah Abigail was real small, we used to have daddy-daughter days. And sometimes we would go to McDonald's. And you know, if there's something that's real good at McDonald's, it's those French fries. Man, you could put those French fries on top of my head, my tongue would beat my brains out. I mean, they're just great. And I remember one day Savannah and I went to Mickey D's and I wasn't eating and I got Savannah a big old container of those French fries. It was a big container. And we was riding down the road and the car closed up, but I got to smelling those things. I got to smelling those French fries. And I thought, I believe I just have a couple. And I reached over to get me a couple of French fries and she jerked them back. I thought, you little brat. I thought, you know what? I'll tell you what I should have done. I should have bought enough French fries to bury you in them. I thought, now that container of French fries, that was my money. I work hard for my money. That was my money, and I purchased those French fries. I didn't want all your French fries, Savannah Abigail. I just wanted a couple. And lo and behold, you jerk it back. I thought, folks, later, God must feel the same way. He's given us everything. He's given you everything you have. He's given you everything you have. All he's asking for is a couple French fries, and you won't give anything back. All he's asking for is a couple French fries. You keep pulling it back. Why, he's the one gave you the French fries. He's the one gave you the health. He's the one gave you the car. He's the one gave you the house. He's the one gave you everything. You keep pulling it back. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you, when we'll start giving, it's when we acknowledge everything we have is given to us by God. Let me tell you the third motivation for giving. Giving is a way to express gratitude to God. Giving is a way to express gratitude to God. Let me give you the story. It's in John 12. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, he came to Bethany where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Verse 3 says this, folks. Mary, I believe, I've studied the Word of God, I believe the closest woman in the Bible to Christ was Mary. Because every time Mary of Bethany is mentioned in the Bible, she's always at the feet of Jesus. She's never mentioned that she's not at the feet of Jesus, Mary of Bethany. Look what the Bible says. And Mary took a pound of spikenard, took a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. I researched this, folks. This perfume was extracted from a plant in India. This perfume, 12 ounces, now get this, folks, 12 ounces of this perfume was equivalent to 1 year's labor. So listen, you would work all year, you would have worked all year in biblical times just to get one bottle of this perfume. And you thought that stuff at Dillard's was expensive. Well, listen, one bottle of this perfume. And look what the Bible says. And she anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And look, get this. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? Then he said, he didn't say this because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. He was stealing out of the Lord's bag. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against this day of my bearing have she kept this. This is all I'm going to say. And I'll get back to the message, but I just want to remind you of something. Shortly after this, he was crucified. He went through hell. And you know what I know the devil said? Nobody cares about you.
But I believe he said, there's somebody who cares. If it wasn't for my Methodist dignity, I'd shout, there's somebody who cares. There's somebody who cares. For the poor always have you with you, but me you have not always. Now, here's what I thought. I read that story and I thought, why? Why? And then I realized something. Exactly 2 months before, Mary's brother was dead. Lazarus, and Jesus raised him from the dead. I believe Mary said, after what he's done for me, after what he's done for our family, this perfume is a small gesture. After what he's done for me. Oh, what a miracle. Oh, so unbelievable. Amen. Oh, what a miracle. Oh, son, so unbelievable. Oh, the way he's changed my life. Once I was lost, once I was dead, but now I'm alive. You say, but Pastor, he hasn't done that for me. Oh, I want to remind you, Ephesians 2:1 says, we were dead in trespasses and sin, but he quickened us. What ought to motivate us? I'm sorry for getting excited. Just forgive me. But folks, after what he's done for us, it ought to motivate us to want to give to him. This is what I know about a gift. First of all, a gift is precious to us. It's precious to us. A lady calls Butterball Turkey. And she said, I've got a turkey that's been in the freezer 15 years. Would it be okay to eat it? And Butterball said, well, if it's been frozen, but it's probably going to be real bland. She said, that's what I thought. I believe I'll just give it to the church. David said, I'm not going to give God a sacrifice that costs me nothing. It's precious to us. It's pleasant to others. You could smell it throughout the house. It's perplexing to some. Why? Judas said. But it's pleasing to God. Let me tell you the fourth motivation for giving. Giving breaks the grip of greed. Giving breaks the grip of greed in your life. Somebody said, I want to hear a message, 10 steps for overcoming greed. There's not but one, that's give. There's a terrible disease going around right now. I want to make you aware of it. I know what you're thinking. I know all about it, Pastor, it's COVID. No, there's another disease that's going around. It's called cirrhosis of the giver. Cirrhosis of the giver. Instead of being guided by lordship, we're guided by hoardship. Instead of being guided by lordship, we're guided by hoardship. We buy things we don't need, with money we don't have, to impress people we don't like. And instead of being guided by lordship, it's Jason Hoard. We're guided by hoardship. Now, you know what's amazing? This is the third time to preach this message. The people that are givers, get this. The people that are givers, they're saying, it's a lovely message Pastor's preaching. The people that are givers, they're saying, I really enjoyed Pastor's message. This is so good. The people that are not, you can tell, my God, when's this going to be over? When's he ever going to quit? Listen, folks, if he only does it once a year and you've landed on this Sunday, maybe it's for you. But giving breaks the grip of greed in our life. Let me tell you the fifth thing. Giving strengthens my faith.
I've been trying to live for the Lord for all these years. Succeeded some days, failed other days. You say, I'm looking to you. No, no, you look to Jesus. I'm just a man, feet of clay, and I've got strengths and tons of weaknesses. But here's what I'll tell you about my Christian life. God has taught me more about faith through giving than any other arena. And my faith has been strengthened through giving more than any other arena. More than any other arena, God has strengthened my faith through giving. And it only makes sense, folks, because it's the only place in the Bible where God said, put me to the test. Do you believe there's only one place in the Bible where God said, put me to the test? Only one. It's in Malachi 3:10. Look what he said. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. God said, you say, well, Pastor, I can't afford to do it. Friend, you can't afford not to. God said, just put me to the test. Now, here's what I want to say to you, and I'll move on to the next point. And some of you are thinking, glory. Try it. Try it for 90 days. If it don't work, contact our financial office. This is not a joke. I'll give you every penny of your money back. You say, why would a pastor make a statement like that? Because Barbara and I have been doing it for decades, and it works. And it works. And you can't explain it. But God will build your faith through giving more than any other area. There once was a man, they thought he was mad. Because the more he gave, the more he had. They go in, a mom and little son go into a general country store. And the old storekeeper says to the little boy, reach in there and get you a sucker. Reach in there and get you a sucker. And he's bashful. And he won't do it. Finally, that storekeeper reaches in there and hands him some suckers. They get outside. That mother's irate. Johnny! Why didn't you reach in there and get you a sucker like that storekeeper said? He said, oh, mommy, he's got a bigger hand than I do. It was a great day in my life when this preacher realized that God's got a bigger hand than I've got, and if I'll give him, oh, his hand is so much bigger, and he'll take care of me. Let me tell you something I've never realized, I don't think, to this message. The sixth component about giving is giving positions you towards great things. Giving positions you toward great things. So, Pastor, where do you get that? Look what Luke, I'm almost done. Luke 16:11. Well, not that close, but Luke 16:11. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, wait. Who will commit to your trust the true riches? Wait. God said, I'll use Benny. We'll let it be Benny. That way you won't feel uncomfortable. Benny, if I can't trust you to do what's right with unrighteous mammon or money, how can I really trust you with true riches? How can I trust you with ministry? How can I trust you with relationships? How can I trust you to give you a platform? How can I trust you with influence? How can I trust you with a greater influence with your life? You've already proven to me I can't trust you with what's unrighteous mammon. I can't trust you to do what's right with resources. How can I trust you with the true riches of life? This is all I'm going to say. Judas was a devil from the beginning. We've settled that. Judas was a devil from the beginning. But here's what I thought. He was made treasure of the disciples. Just a thought. Maybe he was given an opportunity to do what's right. Maybe God was testing him and giving him an opportunity to do what's right. Number 7. Giving changes people's lives. Giving changes people's lives. Now here's what I want you to know. You can empty your bank account out. You can give every penny you've got. And that won't get you in heaven, into heaven. You say, Pastor Benny, I've given every dime I've got. Will that take me to heaven? No. Get this closely. The only thing that's going to take you to heaven is knowing Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. The only thing that's going to take you to heaven is knowing Christ is your personal Savior. But get this down. My giving won't take me to heaven. But my giving may take somebody else to heaven. My giving may take my children. Your giving may take your children. Your giving may take your grandchildren. Your giving may take somebody else's children to heaven. Your giving may take somebody else's grandchildren to heaven. Because your giving won't take you to heaven. But your giving might take somebody else to heaven. Because when God blesses us, He always has more than us in mind. I put together 7. I was done with the message. I said, no, there's one more. I got to throw it in there. And I threw it in there this morning. Giving makes you happy. Giving makes you happy. Harvard Business School, by the way, which was started to train preachers, Harvard, Princeton, and Yale, by the way, were all started to train preachers. Got a long way from it. Harvard Business School said this, that if you and I go shopping today and you buy you something, or if you buy somebody else something, it's documented and proven fact, you're happier if you buy somebody else something, then if you buy you something. Because this is what I know. Giving makes you happy. And givers, they're happy. And givers always have more than enough. And takers never have enough. And they're always a sourpuss. Look like they've been eating dill pickles trying to whistle a benediction. Amen. They're just. Because it's all about them. But givers are happy people. Now I'm done, but let me share something with you. I'm done. I thought about God, the ultimate giver. God, the ultimate giver. Now think about this. Was his gift precious? Was his gift precious? Well, he gave his only son. That son, ladies and gentlemen, he was spit on. He was mocked. They blindfolded him and they would slap him in the face. Isaiah said they plucked his beard as he walked through the crowd. He was scourged. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. That was a whip with 9 leather strippings. And in the end of those strippings, they would put pieces of bone and pieces of steel, pieces of metal. Most men did not live through it because the intestinal tract would be jerked out. Somebody said on a hill far away. No, folks, it wasn't a hill far away. Jesus was crucified about 12 or 14 inches off the ground. only about 12 or 14 inches. Why was he crucified on the middle cross? Because the vilest criminal was always placed on the middle cross. And why was he 12 or 14 inches off the ground? It was where men could stand and urinate on that one, on the middle cross. It was where children could take dung and throw it at that one on the middle cross. The spikes didn't go in the palm of his hands. They went in the wrist through the median nerve. It was so painful. And he hung there 6 hours. You said, wait, Pastor. Those Roman soldiers took his life. No, you wait. Philippians 2 and 8 says, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Nobody took his life. He could have called 12 legions of angels. One angel in the biblical times destroyed 185,000 Assyrians. Could you imagine if he'd called 12 legions? But he didn't. What a precious gift. What a precious gift. Not only was it precious, ladies and gentlemen, but it was pleasant. See, remember, the ointment was smelled throughout the room. It's pleasant to others. See, you got to understand something. Jesus' death is pleasant to us. Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's us, believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So it's not only a precious gift, it's a pleasant gift because it affects all of us. But I'll tell you something else. This thought just hit my mind while I was preaching. It's a perplexing gift. And what I mean by perplexing, why would Jesus love me so much? Why would this perfect Son of God love me so much that he would go through all that hell on the cross? I just can't put my mind around it. Why would he do that for my sin? It's perplexing to me that God would love me that much and that God would love you that much. Yes, it's precious. It's pleasant. It's perplexing. But let me tell you something. It's pleasing to God. See, there was a sin debt. We owed a debt that we couldn't pay. We owed a debt that we couldn't pay. But Jesus went to the cross, ladies and gentlemen, and he paid your sin debt. And it pleased God. I'm satisfied, God said. You said, Brother Benny, where do you get that? Isaiah 53:10. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Let me tell you something. The gift was precious. The gift was pleasant. The gift is so perplexing. But the gift is pleasing to God. I could preach all day, I guess, about giving. But more than God wants anything from you, he wants you. He wants your heart. More than God wants anything from you, he wants you. And ladies and gentlemen, eternity's too long to be wrong. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, will you always give an invitation to the day I die? To the day I die.
Because men, women, boys, and girls need to hear that Jesus loves them. Men, women, boys, and girls need to hear that Jesus died for them. Men, women, boys, and girls need to hear they can have victory in their life through the power of Jesus Christ. Their sins can be forgiven. They can be whole. They can be victorious through Jesus Christ.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.